Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
Passage of Scripture that we're going to be in is Matthew chapter 8. Faith is a great topic, don't you think so? I think faith is a great topic. And I suppose that there is probably not a more important topic, especially today, than that of faith. We can easily find ourselves listening to fear rather than keeping the faith. The Bible has much to say about faith. There are verses that tell us what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Basically, that's telling us knowing God can and expecting Him to, even though we can't see how. There are even chapters in the Bible that are designated to faith. Hebrews chapter 11, where we just found that verse, Hebrews 11, 1. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Hall of Faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us how we even get faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith is important. So this morning, we're going to take a detour from the topic that we've been speaking on about David, and we're going to speak on faith in God. I was reading my Bible, it's a good thing to do, I was reading my Bible the other day and I came across Matthew chapter 8 and the Lord showed me something. I even mentioned it quickly on Facebook, and when I shot it, when I shot what I call, like to call my videos of encouragement or encouraging video, I try to do one every day. I don't know that I will do one every day, but some people have asked me to do it. I think people need some sort of positive outlook and some reminders daily. And so I'm trying to be an encouragement. But it only took me a couple of seconds to mention them on Facebook. I can pretty much promise you that it'll take me a lot longer than a couple of seconds this morning. Matthew chapter 8, look at verse number 1 with me. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered in Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with the Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. The first thing that I want us to see about faith, and there's so many things that we could talk about this morning concerning the idea of faith, but the first thing that I want you to know about faith this morning is faith is worship to God. Faith is worship to God. Notice the leper for us this morning. The leper worshiped Jesus. How did the leper worship Jesus? Did he fall on his knees and beg Jesus to help him? Did he fall on his knees and ask Jesus to heal him? No. He worshiped Jesus. The leper never asked the Lord to heal him. Although I'm certain that's exactly what he wanted. Instead, the Bible tells us that the leper worshiped God by having faith. God, I know that if you want to, you can make me whole. Wow! What faith! How is your faith this morning? Have you worshiped Him today by your faith in Him? Have you worshiped Him last week by your faith in Him? Have you let fear diminish your faith? Friend, we are to worship God, and we can worship Him with our faith. Now, there is a fine line between faith and foolishness, but it is a fine line. What is faith? Well, this leper explained it perfectly. God, whatever your will is, that is exactly where I want to be. Notice he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He did not say, Lord, will you make me clean? He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What if the Lord hadn't a wilt it? Then he'd have stayed a leper. Would he have still followed Jesus? We're not given that in the scriptures. But if he worshiped Jesus by his faith, I'd assume whether he remained a leper or became clean, he would still worship Jesus with his faith. Faith is not in the outcome. Faith is in the God that knows what's best with the outcome. And if the outcome would have been that the leper would have stayed a leper, I believe the leper would have still had faith, because his faith wasn't in Jesus healing him. His faith was in that Jesus could heal him. Your faith and my faith is worship to God. I don't know exactly what God has planned with what's going on right now. He hasn't given me privilege to that. He hasn't woke me up in the middle of the night and sat on the foot of my bed and said, Nathan, with this pandemic, here's what's going to happen. And therefore, you need to act accordingly. I don't know what's going to happen. No matter what the outcome, I have faith in Him, and I'm going to worship Him with my faith. Is your faith being diminished by fear? I'm afraid so many people have become afraid. God, whatever your will is, that's exactly where I want to be. Faith wasn't in a question. Faith was in a statement. Missionaries express it. Dear God, if you want me to go to such and such a country, then you'll let me. Pastors express it. Dear God, if you want me to pastor this church, you'll let me. Laymen express it. Dear God, if you want me to have this job or get out of debt or be healthy, you'll let me. But he was expressing it both ways. If you don't heal me, then you won't. It wasn't a matter of, I'm going to trust you if you heal me. It was a matter that he trusted him no matter what. The worship of faith was not the fact that he could be healed. It was the fact that God's will would be done, and he was willing to live with it. Now, that isn't to say he didn't want to be healed, because he did. I can only imagine that if I was a leper, I would want to have my leprosy taken away. If I had cancer, I would want my cancer to be taken away. If I had the common cold, I would want the common cold to be taken away. If I had the flu, I would want the flu to be taken away. If I had this coronavirus 19, I would want this virus to be taken away. I'm not saying that I wouldn't want it or that the leper didn't want it. I'm saying that the leper had faith, not in the outcome. He had faith in the God that could result the outcome. Are we worshiping God with our faith? That's a very important question, especially in times that we live in. While you're sitting at home or worshiping with us here, are you worshiping God with your faith? When you go to work tomorrow, or whenever you get to go back to work, are you worshiping God with your faith? I must say, there have been times when I was not worshiping God with my faith. But I don't want that to be a part of my life. I want that to be the exception of my life. I don't want that to be the rule of my life. And I pray that it isn't a part of your life either. So we see that we can worship God with our faith. Number two, I want us to see that our faith causes God to marvel. I like this. This is impressive to me. Look at verse number 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Wow. Imagine causing the God of the universe to marvel. I mean, he made everything. Nothing is beyond his power. Nothing is beyond his knowledge. Nothing is beyond his presence. But yet he still marveled. The Greek word for marvel is thameizo. And it means to wonder by implication, admire, have an admiration, marvel, wonder. So basically, this verse said it caused God to admire the centurion. Does our faith cause God to admire us? I suppose that we could say all faith would cause God to marvel. But this is the only time that this word is used to describe God with man. It's found one other place, but it's the same story. Found in Luke chapter 7, verse 9. This centurion is the only... There's two times that God marveled. This time with the centurion. God looked at the centurion and said, "I have never seen so great faith." And the Bible even uses the word, "and he marveled." And let me ask you something. Just because you have faith, I don't think God marvels at that. But there are specific times in history when somebody had such faith that it caused God to marvel. Let me ask you, do you and I have such faith that God looks down from the portals of heaven and says, "I admire that"? I think Stephen was an example. God didn't use the word admired, but when Stephen was stoned to death, he was killed for his faith. The Bible says, and when Stephen looked up, he saw Jesus standing. As if, you know, Jesus sits on the right hand of the throne of God. And when Stephen was stoned to death, is that if Jesus couldn't help but stand up at the attention of one of his saints getting ready to come into his presence. He admired what Stephen did. The Bible doesn't use the word there, though. Does your faith cause God to be marveled at you? Admired? There's one other time that Jesus marveled. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 6. This is the other time that Jesus marveled. He marveled twice. He marveled at the centurion because of his faith, and then he marveled here in this passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 6, verse number 6. And he marveled because of what? Their unbelief. Same Greek word. Jesus marveled at the centurion's faith, and he marveled at his family because of their lack of faith. You say, what's this story about? Mark chapter 6 is when Jesus goes home. And he wants to do many miracles. And they said, is this not Jesus, the carpenter's son that was reared with us? He grew up with us. This is Joseph's son. This is the carpenter's son. What right does he have to tell us? What right does he think that he has to do miracles here and there? And the Bible says, and Jesus marveled at their disbelief. So there's two things that you can make Jesus marvel at. You can let Jesus marvel at your faith, or you can let Jesus marvel at your lack of faith. Which one do you think you want to lie on? Which way do you want to lean? Jesus looked at his family and shook his head and said, okay. If you read on, it says, and Jesus did not do many works of miracles because of their unbelief. His own hometown, he couldn't perform miracles in because of the lack of their faith. Where's your faith at this morning? Is it causing Christ to marvel? Or is your lack of faith causing Christ to marvel? One's a positive, one's a negative. So I suppose it's a fair question. Are we causing God to marvel? And is it because of faith or the lack of faith? Some of you have seen God do some mighty things. Maybe if I were to allow you some time this morning, I would be able to go around the room and say, can you tell me a time where God has performed a miracle in your life? Maybe you could. Maybe you couldn't. Maybe you sit there and think, well, you know, I mean, obviously he lets me breathe. That's a miracle. And he saved me. That's a miracle. But you're talking about one of those, maybe you don't have an incident like that. But I do. I could tell you stories probably for the next 20 minutes of things that God has done for me miraculously that I have seen him do. And maybe you're sitting there and say, yes, Pastor Nathan, yes, I have actually seen God do many, many miracles. I know when I got sick and I prayed that God would heal me, he healed me. I remember my grandmother getting cancer and God healed her. I remember this and that. And you could sit there and you could tell me stories for the next 20 minutes of how God has worked in your life. And I just want you to answer this question. Some of you have seen God perform great miracles. You have witnessed him save your soul, yet you find yourself doubting him when it comes to your job. Are you doubting him? Are you doubting him when it comes to your bills? Right now, those are two important things, right? Jobs, bills. You find yourself doubting him because of your health. There are some here who are watching, and there are some here that are sitting here with us this morning, and you've seen God do some mighty things, and yet you find yourself not having faith that you should. And it makes him marvel. I mean, can you imagine? We make fun of the children of Israel, don't we? We don't really make fun of them. They walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. And then they thought God was going to cause them to starve to death. Yeah, I brought you through the Red Sea so I can kill you over here because I couldn't kill you over there. And we're sitting there thinking, where was their faith? And then he provided them manna. And then they grumbled because they're going to die of thirst. They just went through the Red Sea and manna. Now they're going to die of thirst. God provided water. They'll never complain again. No way could they ever complain again. They saw God do three of the most powerful miracles that are in Scripture. There is no way that they complain again. And yet they complain again. And we're going, what in the world? Do they not have faith? And the answer is no. They had a very weak faith. But yet, as I examine my life, I can hear myself in the echoes of my memory saying things like, what in the world is God doing? Why am I going through this? What in the world is happening? How am I going to pay for that? How am I going to do this? In an echo of my memory, I can hear myself, after seeing God do 20 minutes worth of miracles that I could tell you about, I find myself over here with a lack of faith. Does your faith cause God to marvel? Or does the lack of your faith cause God to marvel? Number three, I want you to see that faith pleases God. You can find that in verse number 10 as well. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and then he said unto the followers, using the same centurion, we see Jesus' declaration about the centurion. He broadcast it. I find that when I'm pleased with something, I like to tell other people about it, don't you? For example, last week, now many of you know that I'm trying to stay away from carbs and sugar and blah, blah, blah. My wife last week, and it might have been Wednesday, I can't remember now, she went to Dairy Cream Corner after church. And she texted me. I'm at Dairy Cream Corner, do you want something? Well, of course I do. Now normally, so I put it back on her. If you're going off, I'll go off. If you jump, I jump. That was kind of the, if you're going to eat something bad, then I'll eat something bad too. And she texted me back the evil words of, I'm not going to cheat. So I said, okay, then I won't either. Surprise me. I get home. In the freezer is a sugar-free, probably had dairy in it, so it probably had carbs, but sugar-free strawberry or cherry vanilla ice cream. Now, that's not my choice. Now, I'll tell you what my choice is. If I was doing whatever I want, write this down. When it opens again, you get this and tell me if I'm wrong. Get yourself an avalanche with Reese and Heath bars mixed. Woo! That'll make a Baptist shout on a Sunday morning. So I brag about that to people. What do you want? Oh, man, have you ever tried this? Because it pleases me. Well, my wife, I ate that ice cream. It was one of the best things that I have ever put in my mouth. That sugar-free cherry vanilla ice cream. And then they closed down the next day. There's knuckleheads. I found something that I could enjoy. But they closed. I enjoyed it. I'm telling you about it now. Why do you suppose I'm telling you about it? For illustration's sake. Yes, it's for illustration's sake. But I'm telling you because it pleases me. It pleased me. Have you ever had somebody have something happen to you in your life and it pleased you? And you brag to somebody else about it? Like if West Virginia wins a ball game, it pleases you? And you like to brag about it? Or somebody bought you something and you put it on Facebook. Look at somebody. My secret sister bought me this. And somebody's facing it because it pleases them. And listen, Jesus marveled at this miracle, and I know it pleased him. How do I know it pleased him? Because he turned around and said, look at this guy. Now, why did Jesus have to tell the disciples? He didn't. He could have marveled and kept it a secret. But he marveled and he told the other people around him about the centurion. Why? Because it pleased him. I want you to know that our faith in God pleases him. Jesus was pleased by the faith of the centurion. He bragged about it to everyone, even put it in Scripture twice. Friend, I want you to know that our faith pleases God. Matthew 25, verse 21, and Matthew 25, verse 23 gives us what I believe is an indication of what God will say to us if we are found faithful here on earth when we get to heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want you to know that's a remark of pleasure. It pleases God when you and I are found faithful. Well done, thou good. It pleases God when you and I are good and faithful. It pleases God when you and I are faithful servants. That's what I want to hear. Don't you want to hear that? We actually talked about this in Sunday school for a few minutes. Don't you want to hear that? Don't you want to hear God look at you when you stand before him and you want him to have this big old smile on his face and he looks at you and he says, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful Nathan. Enter the joy of the Lord. Come on in. This is well done. Where do you want to hear? Come on in. I want to hear well done. Maybe everybody gets to hear well done. I don't know. But the lack of faith sure doesn't please God. Faith pleases God. Number four, faith produces great results. That's pretty simple, right? If you read chapter 8 and 9, you're going to see stories of people that practice faith, and they got results. The leper cleansed, the centurion healed, a servant healed, Peter's mother-in-law healed, people being brought that were demon-possessed, demons cast out. The man sick of palsy, laying on a bed, healed. The ruler's daughter was healed. The resurrection of the dead daughters, of the ruler's dead daughter, she was resurrected. The lady with the issue of blood, healed. The blind, seeing. The man that couldn't speak, spoke. And in verse 35 of chapter 9, it says this, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Why? Because of their faith. Now, we have an incident where Jesus went home, and because of the lack of their faith, he didn't heal anybody. And then you have a passage of Scripture here where Jesus is at, and they kept bringing people to Jesus, and Jesus healed them. Why? Because of their faith. I want you to know that faith produces good results, great results. Now, in this case, God's perfect will was to heal them. But if they hadn't have had faith, they would have never even asked. Remember that God can do anything. You remember the disciples in this same chapter. The disciples are on the sea. And they're in a storm. And Jesus is asleep. And they wake him up. "Don't you care that we're going to drown?" And Jesus gets up there, walks out of the bay, "Peace be still." And he looked at him and said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Well, they had some faith. They didn't have the faith that you and I should have had, but they had some faith. You know how I know they had some faith? Because he didn't say, "Ye a lack of faith." He said, "Little faith." And number two, they did wake Jesus up. After they tried everything that they could do and they realized they couldn't do anything, it's time to wake the master up. I don't know what, they didn't probably know what he could do, but they thought that maybe he could do something. Now, they were stunned by what he could do. "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey?" They marveled then. See, faith produces great results. And finally, your faith can be a blessing to others. In chapter 9, verse number 2, you'll see this passage. "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed." You have other accounts in Scripture. Even in chapter 8, the demon-possessed people were brought. You think the demon-possessed demon said, "Hey, go over there to Jesus and let him cast us out. We need to get out of this guy." Well, no, they didn't do that. So they had family members and friends say, "This guy's demon-possessed. Jesus can do something about it." So their faith produced good results for somebody else. Hey, is your faith being a blessing to someone else? My point is this: our faith can be a blessing to others. Is it? Is your faith calming the storm? Or are you rousing it up because of your lack of faith? Are your neighbors being blessed by your faith in the Lord during this dark time? By your faith? Are you bringing your neighbors to the Lord in this desperate hour? You that are home watching, do your neighbors know that you're in church right now? See, your neighbors are watching your cars sitting in your driveway on a Sunday morning when you have always gone to church. And you've used your judgment and wisdom to decide to stay away. I'm totally okay with that. But your neighbors need to know that you haven't given up on God and that you are in church. Maybe make a flyer. Maybe give them a call. Say, hey, I want you to know that our church service is meeting at 11 o'clock on the internet, and we want you to be tuned in. That's what we'll be doing Sunday morning. That way they know that you haven't given up on God, because your faith can be a blessing. Your neighbors are watching you. My neighbors watched us leave this morning. They did. They were even debating letting their daughter come. And I don't know if they're taking note off of us. I don't know how they feel. I've not really checked with them and say, are you scared? Not, I didn't ask them. But they know I'm a preacher. And they know that one time I got sick a few months ago, maybe a year ago now, and my car did not move for a week. And I finally got better, and I walked outside, and my neighbor came over to me and said, man, he goes, I was wondering, he goes, I've been watching, your car hadn't, he goes, and I know you go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and your car didn't move. I thought you'd lost your church. I didn't know he was watching that good. I said, no, I was sick, and I couldn't get out. But he was watching. Your faith is on display right now. Whether you're coming to church or whether you're sitting at home, our faith is on display. And the question is your faith being a blessing to others? Is your faith being a blessing on social media? Is it bringing people to see that you have a faith in God or that you're afraid? As I've said many a times, I cannot tell you not to be afraid, but I can tell you that you have permission by God not to be afraid. Our faith in times like these can draw people to God, and I want my faith to see miracles in others' lives as well. I'd like for my neighbors to get saved. I would like them to get saved. And when it's all said and done, no matter how this ends, I want them to know that Nathan Barker was a man that had faith in God no matter what. And you that are sitting here this morning and you that are watching by Facebook, I want you to have the same testimony. Are you afraid? God doesn't give us that spirit. Common sense, yes. Wisdom, yes. Practicality, yes. Fear, no. And if you find yourself afraid, you have found yourself stepping outside of faith. Not total, but definitely little. The disciples were afraid, and Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith. Now, God can do a lot with little faith. Faith is greater than mustard seed. You can say to that mountain, be thou removed. But boy, what can he do with great faith? He can marvel. So no matter what your predicament is, you've been laid off of work for 3 weeks. The government comes Monday and says, martial law, you can't leave. Gotcha. How are you going to distribute and display your faith so that it can be a blessing to others? You need to think that through. That day may be coming. You may not be allowed to come. I'll do my best to be right here and try to live stream, even if nobody's sitting here, because this is the best Well, I thought it was the best technology to live stream, but now we're using an iPhone. But you may not be allowed. But your neighbors still need to know that even though you're not allowed, you haven't given up. And you still trust the God of the universe, and you're not a bit worried. You're cautious, you're wise, you wash your hands, you stay 6 feet away, whatever. But you're not trusting God. So, that leads me to this. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice and you do not know Jesus Christ, I want you to know Him. I want you to know that you can trust Him. You can trust Him with your soul. You can trust Him with your eternity. You can trust Him with your health. You can trust Him with your death. You can trust Him with your life. You can trust Him. And if you don't know Him, I want you to know that He loves you. He died for you. He was willing to go to hell for you so that He wouldn't have to live in heaven without you. And if you'll trust Him today, He'll save you from your sin. For us, the believers, how is our faith? Are we worshiping Him with our faith? Does God marvel at our faith? Is our faith pleasing to God? Please know that faith can result in great things, and also know that our faith can be a blessing to others. And these are things that God has shown me in chapter 8 of Matthew. The title of the message is simply, Faith in God. Where's your faith? Is your faith in the government? I think God is trying to tell you not to have your faith in the government. Is your faith in sports? I think God is trying to tell us not to have faith in sports. Is your faith in your bank account? I think that God is trying to tell us not to have faith in our bank account. Is our faith in our health and how we exercise and eat right? I think that God is trying to tell us not to have faith in our health. But we can have faith in Him. Do you? It's important. Hey, through this trial, you and I can hold our heads up high and walk through this valley knowing that we're following the shepherd. And even if it leads to death, even if it leads to death, He tells us in that great passage of Scripture in Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Shadows can't hurt you. And if there's shadow, there's light. Trust Him.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.